The Buckeye Raw Extra Podcast is proudly presented by CF Bank, the boutique bank. Trusted for over 125 years with commercial financing, residential lending, personal banking, and more. Visit us online at www.cf.bank. NMLS 409132, all loans subject to credit approval. Terms, fees, and conditions may apply. Member FDIC and equal housing lender.
All right, folks, we're going to open up the press conference today. Second row middle, Nathan Baird, Cleveland.com.
Ryan, there was a point in the game, I can't remember exactly, it was the throw into the end zone that Chris just missed, and the TV showed you, like, giving CJ the thumbs up. That was one of the few, like, real vertical shots it seemed like got taken in that game. Are you taking enough of those as much as you want to take? Is he seeing those as much as you want to see?
I thought the questions today were going to be, are we throwing the ball too far down the field? So that one caught me off guard. No, I think you know, we just have to be smart when the shots are there. Then we have to take them. I thought in that spot, the reason I thought he did a great job was he kind of threw where only Chris could catch it. He didn't put it at risk. And then later on, you know, the interception, you know, we just forced it down the field. You know, throw the ball down the field late is not good. But, you know, I think we throw the ball down the field as, you know, and as aggressive as anybody in the country.
What the situation is with Jack. And then I guess in relation to that, you talked before about Quinn not really being close to ready to play in a game. Is he any closer now that
yeah.
like he is your third?
Yeah, no, he's making progress. He's I thought coming off of the bye, he's been working hard and getting better. He's starting to you just look more comfortable walking around the facility, and he's starting to pick up the offense. You know, it's taken a little time for him to pick up the offense, but that's because he just got thrown into it. He didn't have a spring ball, didn't have a preseason. There's a lot to it. And it's hard when you don't get a ton of reps, but he's getting more reps now. And you know, I think you're starting to see him feel more comfortable around the team.
Is Jack's suspension just indefinite?
Yeah, until we get more information about how things are being handled, yeah.
Second row, right. Joey Kaufman, Columbus Dispatch.
Ryan, just to follow up on Jack, is he able to do anything with the team right now? Is he from all team activities?
For right now, at least until the end of the week, he's going to be off the team, yes.
And what would he have to do? I know you're looking for more information, but what would you need to see or learn from him to be welcome back?
Just to kind of get more information about how things are going to be handled and what the conclusion and the findings are of everything. And so just making sure that we have all the information before we make any decisions about moving forward.
And question on Garrett. He was not available on Saturday. How is he looking to move more forward in game?
Yeah, looking forward to having a really good week of practice with him and getting him back out there today. And certainly, you know, not having someone like Garrett for a game is, you know, we miss him. So looking forward to having him back this week.
Second row left, Bill Landis, The Athletic.
Ryan, with Trevion, it seems like maybe the last couple weeks he's been running really hard and physically, but maybe there are times where he's almost seeking out that contact rather than, like, you know, making guys miss as he was earlier in the year. Like, what's the balance there with the running back? And you're trying to run hard, but maybe you don't run the contact all the time.
I think he's running hard, and that's good. And then he needs to continue to run hard, like you said. And there's times where, you know, you need to make a guy miss. There's times where you got to make a hard, ugly 3-4 and turn that into 5-6. And he's an excellent running back. He's learning. He's getting stronger. Certainly taking care of the football is critically important. And he's going to have to do that again this week. But I've been impressed with how he's been able to handle the amount of carries. You know, whether we have that happen again this week or not, we'll see. We certainly would like to see them split up a little bit. You know, it's a lot to ask for a young player. But, you know, we're getting some of the other guys back that are in that room. And so, but been impressed with how he's been working at it. And, you know, the run game this week is obviously something we're going to continually work on and try to figure out how to be more efficient in those areas and make sure that, you know, we are efficient in our run game. You know, we're getting four yards or more on all of our runs, which keeps us on schedule, which is something that's a huge focus this week.
And switching topics, I wanted to ask you about something about recruiting. I think there are some head coaches who maybe take an approach where they'll try to close out a recruitment, or they'll hang back a little bit until it's like really crunch time and then start to get heavily involved. You seem to be very present very early with a lot of your top targets, almost on the daily. Why do you take that approach as opposed to, you know, the other one where you can just hang back a little bit, let your assistants do a lot of the groundwork there?
Well, I think at the end of the day, you know, things happen in college football where, you know, we've been very fortunate. You know, we've had stability here for a long time and coaches who have done a great job and have been here for a while. So that's great. I think that's a huge selling point. But at the end of the day, it comes down to, you know, in my opinion, the head coach and the culture that's being you know, cultivated here, and what's the vision? Because, you know, somewhere along that, coaches do come and go. Hopefully we want all of our guys to stay for the next 15, 20 years. But at the end of the day, when that happens, you know, who's the head coach and what's the culture going to be? Because that's going to stay consistent. And so I just think that that's important in recruiting. And like you said about the different philosophies, I really put it in their court. You know, if you want to do this, if you want to be an Ohio State Buckeye, then let's do this. But it has to come from the recruit and their family. Like you said, closing guys out anymore, to me, doesn't really exist. You know, certainly you have to make a decision. And at that point, you know, you got to make a great sell for your university and your program. But if they don't like it, then they turn around and go somewhere else. So they have to want it. They have to want to be here. They have to want to work through tough times and own it and have ownership of their university. And so I just think that that recruiting nuance right there is changed in the last, you know, few years.
Ryan, I think there's been a lot of debate among the fan base about C.J. Stroud not running the ball as much as maybe they think he should. And, you know, especially with plays, you know, maybe he's scrambling, there's open space in front of him. You know, people think he should be taken off. What's your vantage point on that? Like, how are you coaching him in those situations? Do you want to see him look to take off in those situations, or are you telling him not to do that unless absolutely necessary?
No. I mean, it's hard to tell somebody what to do in those situations, because when you do, it won't be the same situation as it was the next time. And so you have to trust your instincts. And I think he's doing a very good job of that. He keeps his eyes upfield. I think there are times where, you know, if he can make 3 or 4 yards and keep us on schedule, then he can do that. He's done that before. And that's just part of playing the game and getting a feel for it and managing the game. There's times where he's skated and extended routes and pushed the ball down the field and made some really good throws as well. So that's just feeling the game and understanding where we are in the game. But keeping us on schedule again is something that we're really hitting on this week.
I know, like, yeah, he's kind of expressed when he's been asked about it, like, you know, it's not necessarily my job to run, or it's, you know, I'm just trying to do what the coaches are telling me to do. Like, kind of how do you work with him on that in terms of, you know, finding that right balance of when to run and when to not?
Yeah, no, he's very competitive, and he can run. I mean, you've seen him do it before, and he'll continue to do it. It's just, you know, in game and finding the right time to go, you know, duck your head in there for 4 or 5. He did a nice job in the red zone. He pulled one on, I think it was 3rd down and 4, pulled it, made like 6. Really well done. And then I think there was a couple other ones that maybe he, you know, you'd have to ask him if he thought maybe, you know, he should have made 3 or 4 more yards. But that's all part of playing the position. And I played the position, so I know it's not easy, you know, and you can tell somebody what to do in the moment, but you have to trust your instincts. But I think the more he plays, the better he's going to feel in those spots and the more confident he'll be.
Right next door, Griffin Straub, 11 Warriors.
Coach, on defense, we saw significantly less of Haskell Garrett and Sharaja Mitchell this past week. I was just wondering what went into both of those situations and if maybe there was any lingering injury issue with Haskell Garrett.
Yeah, there's a little bit of everything going on there. And those guys are still a huge part of this team. And you know, hopefully we can get them healthy here moving forward.
On offense, Julian Fleming obviously got the start this past week. What went into the decision for him to start, and what were your impressions of him, seeing him more than we've seen him, obviously, all season previously?
No, it was great to get, you know, Marvin and Julian both out there. They both, I thought, played well for not having played a whole bunch. And they both have really bright futures here. And really fortunate to have both of those guys as part of this program, because you're seeing, you know, what the future is going to be like at receiver, and it's very bright, and both guys work really, really hard, and when given the opportunity, you know, they're starting to show what they can do.
Back left, Brendan Gulick, Buckeyes Now, Sports Illustrated.
Coach, Trevion Henderson has graded out as a champion this past week, despite the fact that he didn't run or put up big numbers, only 90 yards. Can you explain what else he did beyond the box score that, you know, you were really impressed with?
Yeah, we grade our guys, and Tony does that for the running backs, and he has a grading system that he puts into place, and sometimes it's protection, you know, running, you know, making an ugly 3 yards. I mean, maybe that's all that was blocked for. It could be running a route. It could be, you know, anything like that, effort down the field. And, you know, you grade, you did your job, you get a double plus or a double minus, and then from the end, if you grade over an 80%, you're a champion. And so, you know, obviously all the plays he played, which he played a lot of plays, he graded over 80%.
Your kickoff and punt coverage units have been really, really good this year. Is there something you're seeing with this particular group of guys, you know, that has made that unit shine. They don't get a lot of spotlight, but it really is a bright point.
Yeah, well, I think first off, Parker Fleming has done an excellent job in his meetings. They take a lot of pride in their work. If you come to a walkthrough for all of our guys on special teams, you'd be really impressed. Just very professional, sharp, communicative. They take accountability, and they take pride in those units. And it's starting to show. I mean, you're starting to see our guys play well in those areas. And so we got a bigger challenge this week. These guys are good in special teams. And, you know, when it can be an advantage for us, then we think it's huge. And it's a lot of our guys who have taken a lot of pride in the fact that, you know, they want to make a contribution. And there's been a bunch of them that have. When you look at the different guys. And so it does, like you said, it doesn't always show up in the highlight films or, you know, make the highlight reel at night, but it does in here when we watch film as a team. And there's been some really good play.
Over here to the right, Adam King, WBNS.
Ryan, when you look at a Purdue team that's now beaten two top five teams, how do you, you know, tell your guys to make sure they're on full awareness that Purdue doesn't come in here and pull another top five upset?
Well, when we went into the bye week, we looked at all six games. Usually we don't look ahead, but that's an opportunity to do that. And we knew what this stretch was going to be like. And we have respect for everybody. And we also know that it just takes one game and you're out. And we've been saying that. And doesn't matter how it looks, we got to win. And we keep winning, then a lot of good things are going to happen. Now, as we look at the film, we realize a lot of things we can clean up. And we can play better. We can play better, but we just have to win these games. And here's another example of a team that has, like you said, beat Iowa. They beat Michigan State last week. They have a top 10 defense in the country. You know, really, really dangerous on offense. Have really good players. And so, you know, our guys understand that. I mean, they're tied for first in the West. I mean, they're 4-2 with the rest of those guys. They're a four-way tie. And so they're playing for a chance to go to Indy. So they certainly have our attention. Very, very good players and very good scheme.
Third row of middle, Doug Lamorese, Cleveland.com.
This is kind of a math question. You were, after the Penn State game, I think you said a couple times, it was 34-34 run and pass.
Yeah.
As you ran, you seemed to like that balance.
Yeah.
So against Nebraska, you run 84 offensive plays, 54 pass, 30 run. To have that same balance, you would have to have 42 run plays. Of the 30 you did run, Trevion had 21 carries, right? If you would have gotten that same balance, how should this offense run 42 run play? How would you get there? Are you comfortable with Trevion having 36 carries? Do you need to use Mayan and Master more? Or do you need CJ taking 8 to 10 carries? Like, or would 42 be too much?
Right. It's a great question. I think when you look at the called plays, they're not always passes. Some of them are run-pass options. And if they loaded up the box, see, I think one of the things that, you know, when you look at the landscape of college football right now, where defenses and offenses are, you know, I've really been thinking about this the last couple of weeks. You know, when you have three receivers in the game, you know, defenses have been seeing these type of formations and these spread offenses now for a few years. And so a lot of times there's an extra guy down. Now, how are you going to handle the extra guy? And you can do it a couple different ways. But, you know, Nebraska certainly had an extra guy down a good portion of the game. And so you saw a lot of, you know, RPO stuff where we were, you know, sticking it in there and throwing the ball out. Those were called runs. But when they put another guy in there, we have to spread out the field. Now, we could also get into bigger personnel and just try to run over the extra guy. You know, and that's part of it. But so to answer your question, I think it's a little bit of both. I think, yes, we can spread the runs around. You know, CJ having a few carries is a good thing. Usually not designed. Usually if it's we're reading that extra guy and he's pulling it. Sometimes that extra guy just says hand it off and you do. But then also having Master involved, Mayan involved, and getting those guys, some of those carries will be part of it as well. And it isn't always going to be that way. You know, sometimes what you do is you do what you think gives you the best chance to win the game. And if somebody's saying, hey, we're going to put all these guys extra in the box, you got to throw it. If they start to put a two-shell on it, like some teams have done, then we run it a little bit more. So that's part of it as well. Some of that is the play call. Some of it is the decision of the quarterback to either hand it off or throw it, because that's part of the decision.
Is where the offense is with CJ as a run option or a run threat, is this at all similar to what you guys faced in 18 with Dwayne? And at the end of that season, you know, like he started to pull a little bit and run against Maryland, it seemed like, oh, okay, this is adding a wrinkle to that offense. Does your quarterback have to be a threat to put it on the read and run, not just throw in an RPO? Like, does that hold a backside guy? Like, do you need to establish that a little bit? Or?
I don't know. I mean, I think that's all part of the conversations that we have. Is that the right thing to do? You know, and there's a lot of risk and reward with everything you do that in that area. So we talk about that constantly and try to figure out what the right balance is. And so when the time is right, you know, and we need to do that, we will.
18, a valid comparison with Dwayne or not really?
Yeah, I'd say so.
Okay, yeah. Right in front, Bill Rabinowitz, Columbus Dispatch.
You have no issues with Travion, and obviously, you know, he did run hard. But the run game is not clicking right now the way it certainly did. You had that stretch where you could do no wrong as an offense, and now you've hit some hurdles. When you look at the run game specifically, what do you see as being the issue and in terms of the offensive line, and how close do you think you are to fixing it?
Well, I think the first thing is just doing a better job and being cleaner, staying on schedule. What I mean by that is, like, the penalties are getting us out of whack. That's the first thing you just notice. Or a negative run. You know, when I say a negative run, that's anything that would be negative yards or zero, because now you're second and 10. So we have to avoid those things. And, you know, we're playing against some good defenses, but we can do a better job of execution. We can do a better job of communication and making sure that, you know, we're executing at a higher level. And there's a lot to it. I won't get into all the schematics of all those things. But I will tell you that I don't think it's, you know, one thing across the board. I think what you see is, you know, maybe one guy was a little bit off here, a little bit off there. And, you know, we watched the film in here as a group this week, and it's like, if this guy makes that block, look what could happen here. But we didn't, and we didn't. So that, I think that's all part of the equation. We did meet as a group this week, and the coaches and the players, we all took accountability that we got to get it better. We got to be cleaner. And so whether it's the run game or the pass game in general, we all take accountability.
And on the other side of the ball, this is going to be quite a test for your pass defense. David Bell is obviously a terrific receiver. Can you just kind of describe the challenge that you have and how comfortable you, and confident you feel with your pass defense right now?
Yeah, well, I think they have a very good passing offense. I think the quarterback's excellent, and Coach Brohm does a really good job. Bell is, you know, a really talented receiver, but they have other guys, too, that are very, very good, and he attacks you in different ways. So. But they also run the ball as well, and they'll come in here, and they certainly you know, are creative about schematics and different things that they do. So you know, it's going to be a really important week of work that we're prepared, and you know, I mean, our guys have been playing at a high level, but this is a new challenge. We really haven't gone against a style of offense like this.
Over here to the right, Don Tavares, WBNS.
Coach, it's November. You know, fans see the big point spreads. They see, like, a Nebraska 3-6. How hard is it to win, though, in November with a young football team and given all the expectations that are out there?
Well, I mean, our number one goal is to win, and that's all that matters to us. Certainly, we want to play at a high level, and we have a standard that we play to, and if we don't do that, then we come back and try to get it fixed. But the number one goal is to win. And I think, you know, college football could maybe be the only sport in the world where it matters sometimes how you win. And we can't get caught up in that, because when you start getting caught up in that, that's how you lose. And so our number one goal is to win the game. And if that means we got to win by 1 point, we win by 1 point. And if we have to apologize for winning by 9 points on a road at Nebraska against a really good team, then life's pretty good. But at the same time, we also have a standard that we need to uphold. And it's about us. It always has been about us. And I would say that we didn't play to a high enough standard in that game. We could have played a lot better. But it was a gritty win on the road, and we're proud of that, and we move on. And I think when you see the teams who are playing in November who continue to win, good things happen.
Every week anything happens. Michigan State was in the playoff last week when it came out, number 3.
Yeah.
They're out. The second one comes out tonight. Do you have an argument that you guys should be in the top 4?
I mean, I don't. No, not to me, it doesn't right now, because if we don't win this game, it doesn't matter. You know, what matters is that we continue to win, and then where are we at, you know, at the end of the season? That's what matters. And so I think it's great for college football. I think it brings up a lot of conversation, and that's great. But what did last week matter? Didn't matter anything, because here we are today and tonight, and it will be the same thing next week. So our focus just has to be on Purdue, and that's all that matters. If we win, we move on. And that's the way it should be. And you know, it's obviously great to be relevant in November, and that's what our guys are fired up about. And I think, you know, bringing great energy in November with a young team is a challenge, but you know, we're looking forward to this game, a 3:30 home game against Purdue, really good team, and this is what it's all about.
Front row right, Austin Ward, Leonard Monroe.
Right, maybe this will put a bow on the quarterback run talk. Maybe it won't. I don't know. It feels like this came up with Dwayne at times, as Doug said. Justin's first year as a starter, it came up that he maybe wasn't running enough. Is it just maybe your philosophy that you would rather not have your quarterback running the football that much? Is that a fair way to assess it?
I don't know. I mean, you know, guys have run here before, and when it's appropriate, we do. But, you know, also it's clear that, you know, we don't run it as much as some of the other places, you know. And I tell people that in recruiting, you know, we're not going to come here and just, you know, run you into the ground and get you hurt. And, you know, it's a long season, and we got really good players on offense. And so, you know, when the time is right and we need to do it, we got to do it. But at the same time, you know, putting our guys at risk for a long season is not something that, you know, we do here. And I believe strongly in that. And the quarterback position is a very important position. But to your point, you know, there's times where you got to get it done. We got to get it done.
CJ seemed, I don't know, like he was a little more down after that win than some others and was harping on the mistakes. What was he like maybe on Sunday or yesterday if you guys got back in and watched the film of those?
Just like I was, same way. You know, we have to, you know, listen, we winning is hard, like we talked about. But at the same time, when you're highly competitive, you know, you take things to heart. You know, you have a vision of what's going to happen. And when it doesn't happen that way, you got to figure out what happened. Let's get this thing fixed. And if you're a competitor, you take ownership of that. You take accountability and you look within. You know, you don't point the fingers. And I think CJ's done an unbelievable job. We had a great meeting on Sunday, went through the film, some things I wish I had back, some things he wish he had back. And that's really healthy, you know, coach-player relationship. And so now we just continue to get better and we grow from it. We learn from it. And I'll say this, every week he's getting stronger. He's learning more. He's building. You can see he's got some scars on him now, and that's healthy for a quarterback.
Fourth row right, Rob Ballard, Columbus Dispatch.
Switch sports for a minute to basketball. You've got your big guys are really athletic, and a handful of them, Tyreek, Nick, Juan, JT, they all play basketball. How much does that factor in with recruiting when you look at guys? Do you watch those basketball games? And secondly, how big are you on multi-sport guys?
I mean, I love multiple sport guys. You know, my son was in, I think, fifth grade when a coach told him, you know, you need to decide what sport you want to play. And I almost jumped through the phone at him. You know, I mean, I think the more sports you play, the healthier it is. You know, you're learning about how to compete. You're learning how to lose. You're learning how to get better. You're learning about discipline. You're learning so many different things. And you're learning different skill sets. I think spatial awareness, hand-eye coordination, foot quickness, all those things in basketball are tremendous. And I look at it a lot. When we were on the road before COVID, when we would go out in December and January, mostly in January, when we'd go to see some of the underclassmen that we couldn't have contact with, love going to basketball games. It's like one of my favorite things to do on Tuesday nights across the country is go see a guy compete. You get to see how he's coached. You get to see how he lost by 20. What's his attitude? You know, is he kicking stuff and you know, yelling at his coach? Or is he encouraging his teammates and trying to figure out, you know, running back on defense and trying to take a charge late in the fourth quarter down by 15? You just learn so much about people in those environments. You get to see them in their setting. How do their teammates treat them? How do they compete? How do they move? I love seeing that. I think you learn a lot about people. Not that it's 100%, but you get a good snapshot into kind of who they are.
Could your guys beat Rutgers in basketball?
Oh, no. They're not as good as they think they are. They think they're a lot better than they are.
Second row left, Stephen Means, Cleveland.com.
A little more 2018 talk. In 2018, you guys ran a lot of RPOs too, and it didn't seem like that offensive line took well to it very often, so you guys just kind of stopped doing it. How do you think this offensive line is kind of adjusted to that as much as you guys are doing it right now?
No, I mean, I don't think that, you know, we've been really running a whole bunch of the stretch run that you've seen that's kind of taken over the last couple years and been really good for us. And so that's really good for our offensive line. We have a very athletic offensive line. And when we mix in, you know, the RPOs, it just helps with the extra guy down in the box.
And then
I know you guys have rotated some guys and tried to get Matthew Jones on the field, and sometimes it's because of injuries, but also you just want to get him on the field. But does there come a point in the season where you just need to have five, regardless of who that is?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I think it just depends on the situation, who your guys are.
Over here to the right, Clay Hall, WSYX.
Why is Ruggles so good? Do you ever say anything to him when he takes the field?
No, I stay away from him. He came in and, from the jump, he's been nothing but professional. And that's what you really appreciate about those guys. Jesse's the same way. Brad's the same way. You know, really low maintenance. You know, if you're having to deal with the specialists and having to coach those guys up, that's usually not a good thing. You know, they kind of take care of themselves and, they're kind of on a different program, and they understand that, but they understand how important their job is. And so, and you're going to need them in November. It's going to be important. They're playing well, but they got to continue.
Back row right, Spencer Holmer, Letterman Row.
Ryan, everybody's asking about balance on offense, but when you throw seven or eight screen passes in a game and then it looks like 54 passes, 30 runs, like how much of that goes into the balance argument? And are the screens just a part of the run game?
Yes, that's the way that we look at them, yeah. So, the numbers on the stat sheet may look a certain way, but we look at those as runs.
So it's a lot more balanced than people kind of think of yourself.
Well, I mean, I don't know what people think, but I can tell you that that's the way we look at it. You know, we try to make them, stretch out, cover the entire field. And if that means throwing a screen pass to Chris Olave or Jackson Smith or Garrett or somebody on the edge in the perimeter or even, to Travion, we look at that as a long hand. We call it a long handoff. And it's just, it's a way to get them out in space. And if they make 4 or 5 yards, then that's an efficient play for us. Although on the stat sheet, sometimes it shows as a pass. That's kind of how we look at it. It's part of the run game.
Seems like at the bye week, all of the pressure on defense, the pass rush was coming from the inside in the first 6 games. And the last couple weeks, it's come from the outside. Have you seen a change in the way the defensive ends are working or at rate level? Or do you think it's just gaining experience and getting more comfortable where they're at?
I think it's just now that we've got everybody together, everyone's healthy. Now you have some young guys who have some depth. And I think because of that, our D-line is playing at a higher level now. And I think Larry's doing a great job of rolling them. And you're seeing a lot of guys play, and so they're playing fresh. And they're fresh in November. I think that's a huge part of it.
Time for a couple more. Fourth row middle, Pat Murphy, 24/7 Sports.
Ryan, coming into this season and this final stretch, there were obviously certain games that people were looking at. Purdue probably wasn't one that the average person circled, especially early in the season. What has made this team good that they can go and upset teams like that and now clearly have your attention?
Well, I think it starts with their defense. When you look at their front seven, they do a great job. I mean, statistically, they're one of the top teams in the country. Karlaftis is one of the best defensive ends in the country. He's really strong, but they have a bunch of good players, and I think it starts with the defense. But then on offense, certainly Jeff has done a really good job and has for a bunch of years. They scheme you week in and week out, try to find creative ways to attack you, and they have good players. I mean, David Bell and they have a whole bunch of them. So, I think he's done a really good job. I think maybe last year, I don't remember what their record was, but, coming off of COVID, it's just, there were so many different variables. But they certainly, did a great job in the offseason, kind of regrouping, and then they're a good team.
The receivers you guys have, they all seem to be pretty humble, they're willing to let the throws be spread around. Jackson, after the game, didn't want to talk a ton about himself, even though he had a game like that. That's not typical of the perception of receivers, that diva mentality. How do you work towards getting those guys, obviously it's just recruiting, but why those guys, why can you find guys like that then still produce on the field?
I just think that that's what this place is all about. And to hear you talk about a receiver who, caught for over 200 yards and played one of the better games here in a long time, not want to talk about himself. I mean, what a tribute to who he is and this team and the unselfishness across the board, because we have a lot of good players on offense, and Jackson didn't always get the ball. You got Garrett, you got Chris, you got Ruck, you got Travion, and so you never heard a word out of Jackson. And, all of a sudden now he's starting to show up in big games. And so, but it's the same thing with Chris. It's the same thing with Garrett. And that's a huge part of being a winning team. And, we can be a bunch of individuals or we can be a great team. The only way we're going to win a championship is if we're a great team. And the only way you're a great team is if you're unselfish and you talk about your teammates. And in the end, it all comes back to you in the end. That's just how it works. But to your point, you don't always see that. You know, families don't always see that. Parents don't always see that, you know. But he obviously has. He's have a mature approach to this thing, and it says a lot about who he is. But he's not the only one. There's a bunch of guys like that on our team, and just proud that these guys take that approach.
And second row rank, Tim May, Letterman Row.
Yeah, a while ago, did I hear an open invitation for us to attend a special teams walkthrough?
No.
Okay. Just checking. Have defenses the last couple of weeks kind of caught up with you guys on the offensive front, do you think, a little bit? I mean, some of these backside guys making plays on Travion before he gets to the – as he gets to the line, et cetera, like that. What have you noticed on video that, you know, are there some changes in the work, so to speak?
Yeah, I think the last two defenses we played are excellent defenses, and we have another one this week, and it's just not that easy. And if you're not executing really, really well, you know, they can make you look bad. And we have to own that, and we have to understand that we have to execute better. And that's just the bottom line. And I think our guys understand that. That's why today's a big practice for us.
And the other thing, Jackson having 15 catches, is that's extraordinary, but is it testament to you that CJ is kind of going where he needs to go with the ball? If you follow my drift, his advancement in that regard, take what they give you kind of situation. How do you look at that from a coaching standpoint?
I mean, I think a lot of times, like you said, it's wherever the coverage takes you. You know, we have certain reads where, you know, the progression starts one place and comes right across the board. And if it's there, go get it. If it's not, then you need to progress down. And I think that's something that CJ is excellent at. I think, you know, he gets the 3-4 sometimes really fast. And you know, a lot of it in that game was Jackson making plays. I mean, he was getting open on the inside, and you know, they were playing a couple coverages where, again, the ball was kind of being forced inside again, and there he was creating separation. And so, yeah, I mean, Jackson did a great job, and then CJ did a good job as well.
Just one last quickie. Is there any doubt that Tyreek Smith's return has made a difference? I mean, what have you seen from him specifically that's kind of added spark, for want of another term, to that front?
Well, I just think production. And that's something where, when you're a veteran, you know, you have to produce, especially in November. And, you know, he kind of missed some time there in the middle. And so, you know, some of the younger guys got on the field and got a bunch of experience. And so now they're ready to go in the game as well. But you know, Tyreek and some of the other guys, some of the older guys are starting to show up for us. And if we want to make a run, the veteran guys have to play veteran. I've always said that. And so he's somebody on a young team that's a veteran guy that – certainly, you know, his presence needs to be felt, and it was felt last week and obviously throughout November.
Yeah. Great. Coach, thank you very much.
Okay. Yep.